Another Northern California wheat grower is being sued by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. As background, in February 2013, with no warning or opportunity to discuss the matter, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers sent farmer John Duarte a cease and desist letter to suspend farming operations, claiming that he had illegally filled wetlands on his wheat field simply by plowing it. Duarte spent millions to defend himself and to prevent his personal financial ruin with legal fees and fines. He settled just before trial was set to start in August 2017 in the U.S. District Court in Sacramento. Duarte settled admitting no liability, but agreeing to pay $330,000 in civil penalty fines and another $770,000 for compensatory mitigation in vernal pool mitigation credits. Now another wheat farmer, Jack LaPant, owner of J&J Farms in Chico, is facing the same pressure from the Corps of Engineers that Duarte had faced. In fact, in 2011, LaPant sold that property to John Duarte that Duarte was trying to farm wheat on, which led to his prosecution. Tony Francois is an attorney for the Pacific Legal Foundation. He represented John Duarte, and he now is representing Jack LaPant. Well, Mr. Francois, thanks for being with me today on the California Ag Today podcast.
My pleasure, Patrick. Anytime.
So, Mr. Francois, first is John Duarte, now it's Jack LaPant.
Jack being sued for growing a wheat crop on another portion of the same property the year before in 2011. So this is kind of a package deal for the Army here.
So in essence, LaPant was already embroiled with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers before Duarte.
The Army's investigation extended over several years. So they, knew about Jack's wheat crop in March of 2011. They didn't take any action regarding him until December or so of 2012, at which point they decided that him growing wheat was also a violation of the Clean Water Act. And then, the investigation and kind of threats from the Army and the Justice Department continued for about 3 years after that. And then when the government won their liability ruling in the Duarte case, they pretty quickly then filed this lawsuit against Jack. I assume thinking that they were, going to sweep him into it, claiming that he can afford to pay millions of dollars in fines. It appears to be part of the same pattern.
And that's how they approached the Duarte case. They saw that he was not only a farmer, but he also operates a major Northern California nursery, Duarte Nursery, thinking he had plenty of money to pay the fine. But Duarte did settle for less than what they were trying to get from him. And Francois sees a major problem here, since the Army Corps of Engineers is really the Army.
I think it's important to, for people to actually kind of recognize who we're talking about here, is part of the United States Army that's involved in regulating how farmers grow food for America. I think we're accustomed to thinking of the Army Corps as not part of the military. Of course, I served in the Army. I know a lot of very good engineer officers who served in the Army Corps, and even some that served as the district engineers that oversee this work that goes on domestically. Of course, what they're mostly about is reservoirs and levees and flood control, but this all does go on under the auspices of the Army. But what's gone on here is that important traditional role that the Army has played has morphed, or you could call it mission creep, into a really much more questionable, at a policy level, legal authority to regulate farming. That happens because the Clean Water Act authority that the Army Corps has deals directly with deposit of soil into navigable rivers and lakes. So if you need to build a pier in a lake, you're going to have to dump a bunch of fill to do that. And fairly reasonably, the Army Corps of Engineers is the agency that regulates that. The problem is when you start thinking of soil not dumped into a river, but soil that makes up a farm and, is moved and broken up and tilled when you plow and farm. The EPA and the Army Corps, view that soil on a farm as a pollutant. And when you, in their view, move it a few feet or a few inches from point A to point B, you've dredged it from point A and you've filled point B, thereby polluting it.
And we're talking about a low area of the field where there may be water, and it could be just from a recent rain.
And that's really not the way the Clean Water Act is supposed to work. Recognizing that this would never work with farms, Congress in the 1970s, in one of their rare lucid moments, actually exempted farming from this whole regulatory authority that the Army has. The Army has then added its own conditions, so they deny Congress's exemption for farming in all kinds of circumstances where, in their opinion, they think that exemption is unwarranted. So in this case, the Mr. LaPant's property had not been tilled for a number of years before he grew his wheat crop. And the way the Army looks at it, if you don't keep tilling it, you lose the exemption.
Francois said it's all about farming, just simply farming land.
The nature of farming, of course, is to using your expertise as a farmer to turn soil and water into growing things. And so there is no way that you're going to effectively till the soil without, first of all, modifying that soil beneficially so that you'll be able to grow crops in it and grow more crops in it. And B, one of the reasons you do that is to improve the way, whether it's rainfall or irrigation water or groundwater, to improve the way that your crop can access that water resource. And that's not just, this is how farming works and, we should leave farmers alone to do that. It's actually critically important for our entire society, and people forget this. The food surplus that we enjoy because of the ingenuity and hard work and industriousness of American farmers is the reason why all the rest of us who aren't farmers have the luxury, maybe even, of pursuing other careers, of doing anything that we have the desire and the aptitude and the opportunity to do. And, all kinds of bad history has occurred in the last century when you get militaries involved in deciding where and how and when people can farm.
Again, this is a case against farmer Jack LaPant, and so far, depositions and discoveries are being made before a possible trial.
We'll be filing what are called summary judgment motions in about a month's time with the judge. That's where we try to identify whether there's legal questions that can resolve the case. And if that doesn't dispose of the case, then we'll be taking this to a jury in Sacramento to argue Jack's case.
And how does Francois feel about the case?
We're frankly quite optimistic. I think that we've seen, particularly from the Supreme Court over the last couple of years, a renewed interest in holding agencies to the actual authority that Congress gives them instead of the prevailing judicial view of the last 50 to 60 years, which has been fairly deferential to agencies, basically reinterpreting statutes to fit their policy preferences. And so we think when you read the Clean Water Act, what you see is a pretty clear, broad exemption for normal farming from this kind of permitting. And we're optimistic that Jack and similar cases like this make their way through the courts. The courts are going to agree that the agencies can't add their own conditions and, take away what Congress meant to be a fundamental protection for farming in this country.
Now, as mentioned, Francois works for the Pacific Legal Foundation based in Sacramento, and each year the PLF represents hundreds of Americans who seek to improve their lives, but are stymied by government. They sue the government when it violates Americans' constitutional rights and wins. In fact, the PLF's record of success at the U.S. Supreme Court is unmatched by any other organization of its kind. 12 victories and counting. I'm Patrick Cavanaugh reporting.